Cal.
Hey, Lincoln.
What did you just watch?
But your energy is just terrible tonight. Why don't you pep it up a little bit?
But come.
Pep it up.
Well, Kyle, we just watched ATM. It's a movie with Josh from Drake and Josh and Alice from Star Trek.
Yeah, maybe pep it down.
And then we got the guy who plays a lot of cops and stuff. And writer of this movie was Buried. He wrote Buried.
Yeah, he wasn't Buried. That wasn't his name. He just wrote Buried. David McBuried.
So ATM is a little horror thriller movie that we thought was going to be like Devil.
Yeah, because it's called ATM, which is a terrible title. And it's about three people in an ATM. Like an enclosed one. We don't have those around here.
Is that even a thing? Is that like a real thing? It has to be in like big cities, I would say.
Yeah, it's just like a walk-in.
That's probably something like Chicago.
Room, and it had a security gate or security swipe, so you couldn't even get in if you didn't have an ATM card. You had to swipe it to get in the building. So I would assume big cities have them for safety. Here, we just walk up in the fucking shadow. Like, we got nothing.
Yeah, I could just be mugged.
I don't give a fuck about us here.
I just put a gun to me and just be like, give me all your money. I'd be like, well, I got about $15 in my bank account. Maybe this is really worth it for you.
Yeah. So yeah, we saw this at the video store. Thought it looked like shit, so we rented it.
Well, I looked at it, and the thing that made me just need to watch it is because Josh Peck was in it from Drake and Josh.
And I'm too old to know that.
You're too old to know that. I watched it when I was younger. I was probably a little too old to watch Drake and Josh, but for some reason I really liked it. I digress. It's spherical. Spherical!
He wasn't bad in this.
That's a joke from Drake and Josh.
Okay, I don't fucking know Drake and Josh.
And I saw that Alice Eve was in it, and that was really bizarre because I thought she was getting a lot of like really big roles now. I mean, this was granted, this was in 2012, but I thought the Star Trek came out around that time.
Oh, yeah, it did. So anyway, we thought this was a shitty straight-to-DVD horror movie. Turns out it's an IFC film. We watched the director's cut.
Yes, we watched directors. Fancy with this. I'm not sure exactly what the difference
is. We kind of fast-forwarded through the theatrical, and it looks like just scenes in different orders.
Yeah.
It didn't look like anything was added.
So, you know, not that big of a deal.
No. So you want to do the old plot thinking?
Well, Kyle, before we talk about plot.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. And would you recommend this movie?
I actually would recommend this movie.
I would as well.
I'm not saying it's great, because it's not. It has its problems, but it's a breath of fresh air in today's horror movies. We kept saying, like, well, when's this going to happen? When's that? They don't.
There's a lot of, like, horror
cliches. We kept waiting, like, oh, who's the killer? It's got to be this guy, or it's got to be that guy. Spoiler, it's just a dude. He has no tie to these fuckers. We don't know who he is. He's just a dude that wants to kill people. I dug it.
Takes a lot of, like, horror cliches that you think would happen, but they don't happen.
Which is good.
Yeah.
That's it. Go watch it.
Do it. It's not the best movie in the world.
No. At all. Not at all. It's a very simple movie. It's a very low budget. It seriously takes place in a fucking ATM. And they have some setup of them at the office, which has some funny banter. Then they go to a party.
And then it's the ATM.
And then it's the ATM.
The rest of the movie.
Yep.
The things that really hurt the movie are there are a lot of plot holes that we will go into that normally I can get over, but there's a couple that are just really, really big.
And for me, the plot holes stand out more because for the most part, these characters are smart. They're making logical decisions.
Yeah, I had myself a couple of times I was thinking like, well, the next thing that I would do or something would be this. And then they actually did it. And I was like, oh, look at that. They're not completely.
Yeah, they're not dumb, but they do make some dumb decisions.
Yeah. Just give it a little rinsey. All right.
Plot her up.
So the setting is during Christmas, which I'm a sucker for Christmas settings. Know what it
Christmas
is about
Christmas doesn't play into this though.
It doesn't, but it made me like
we
it.
See Christmas trees a couple times.
I know, it's amazing. It just fills me with joy. I don't know why I like Christmas so much. I just get so giddy.
You're terrible at Christmas.
No.
Art, if you're listening, I'm taking away 50 Christmas points right now.
You can't prematurely take away 50 Christmas points.
I just did.
We haven't even begun compiling Christmas points this year.
We had a discussion a while back without you. We've been compiling points year round.
Then how many points do you have?
I have a lot.
How many points does Joe have?
He has more than I do.
How many points do I have?
Eesh.
I was not aware that we were doing year-round Christmas points. Yeah.
Well, we wanted it to become naturally for you.
But I was not that bad at Christmasing this year.
You're losing a lot of points. I'm just saying. You got a lot of catching up to December, you know, you still have time. I digress.
I'm going to win Christmas this year.
Are you? Okay.
For the listeners at home, by the way, this is actually a real thing that we do.
This is a real thing.
We have Christmas points.
We have a Christmas chairman. What was my title?
Christmas commissioner. No, commissioner. You're the Christmas commissioner. Are you still commissioner? I thought that Joe was commissioner now.
He never took it away from me.
Well, no, he took it away from you, then he gave it to me.
And then he took it back.
Then like 20 minutes later, he took it away from me and then gave me negative 2,000 points.
That's right.
That was bullshit. He knows it. He fucking knows that was bullshit.
You were just losing points right now.
I don't give a fuck because that was bullshit.
Like, I don't...
I was winning Christmas.
No, God,
yes,
no,
I was, because he gave you, like, negative 8,000, and then he took away...
At this rate, Lincoln, I don't think you're going to be... You're going to have Christmas.
Oh, I'm going to be Christmasing the fuck out of this now.
Maybe on your own.
Anyways, Christmas is awesome. I love Christmas, and...
That was such a strange tangent, and no one fucking cares or knows what we're talking about. Love you, Art.
I hope he takes away, like, 100 Christmas points from you for saying that nobody cares about.
Nobody cares about it now.
Give him negative 400 now.
I'm safe with my
It starts out Christmas party. Main dude, what's his name? David?
David.
David wants
Hasselhoff
to smoochie on Emily. Who's Alice Eve, who has a really bizarre American accent. I don't know why she didn't just talk in her British accent.
I don't know. That's
her accent got better as the movie progressed, but originally it was really weird. I don't know what the deal was with it.
I don't know why they do that in movies. I really don't. Just let them talk like they normally do.
Yeah, I mean...
It serves no purpose.
Unless it's a story that they have to be American and have some kind of American accent.
Yeah, this
didn't.
It didn't matter. Yeah. They were nerds that crunched numbers and spreadsheets. This is just like evil office.
What? Well, where did they work at exactly?
They said it. I don't know.
It was just like a law firm.
It's not law. It's finances. Okay. Remember the dude's 401k.
Yeah, they make a point to talk about that he like loses somebody's 401k, and we were very scared that that was going to be the killer. And I was like,
I thought it was clever they put that in to make us think that could be the killer.
I was going to be so mad if it actually was.
And we also thought it could be bearded guy.
I was thinking of like the dumbest thing that they could
do. For a while we thought Josh was in on it, whatever Corey was in on it. I immediately started thinking they're going to go the Scream route with this. No.
Or they could go the Saw route.
They could go the Saw route. They did neither. They just went the I'm a calculated evil motherfucker route.
So they're at the Christmas party. There's a lot of banter and actually what I thought was very good dialogue, especially the encounter between David and Emily where it's just awkward.
It is so awkward.
And we've all been there.
And when they got done, I was like, that was the most perfect interaction I've seen between a guy and a girl when he's trying to pick her up. It's awkward as fuck. It was brilliant.
It was good.
Like, it was perfect.
And Josh says shit, and I was like,
oh. And he talks about smoking pot.
You can't do this to me, Josh.
He's a terrible friend.
Yeah, he's pretty shitty.
Terrible friend.
But good character, and I thought his acting was good.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good.
I really didn't have any qualms on like people's acting.
He's just a terrible friend.
Terrible friend. There's a funny thing about male penguins.
Yeah, and balls.
I thought those jokes were actually pretty funny.
Yeah, looking at you, movie 43. You can make balls funny.
And then David gets lice.
He doesn't... You're just assuming because he wears someone else's hat.
I like to think that there's a subplot where he gets lice.
I think this ties into a YouTube channel we watch. So remember, a certain someone lost his hat at one point in time. And then we have this movie where he steals someone's hat.
And it is in New York.
And it looks the same. It was purple. This is a purple hat.
Oh, yeah. His is red, though.
And he does take it back.
Yeah, he takes it back. But still, I still think I like
I think myself. He stole his hat.
I still think he has lice.
He might have lice.
So he gets lice. He uses it as an excuse to go out to talk to Emily, to actually like pick her up instead of just fumbling and mumbling awkwardly. Yeah. So he is taking her home, but then Corey is like, no, you're my ride.
You gotta take me home.
And he's like, fuck you. I'm about to get in this Alice girl tonight, son. And he's like, I ain't got money for a taxi. And then David's like, well, I ain't got money for a taxi. And none of the douches at the table want to give him money. So he's like, all right, fuck it. Come on. So they go, and Emily lives... Somewhere far away. So the plan was to take Corey home and then take Emily home.
And then Corey's like, I'm hungry.
Me.
I want food. I ain't got no food at home.
I did laugh at his line of, my blood sugar's low. I have dyslexia.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. And so in turn, leads them to the ATM because he wants to pull out money because the pizza place that they want to go to only takes cash.
Yep.
So they go to the ATM.
Simple premise to get him there.
Yep. Perfectly fine with that. So now we have them trapped in the ATM. And they're in the ATM. They're getting ready to leave because Corey flags them down. And
his card doesn't work.
Yep. His card's not working. So David needs to pull out money so they can get pizza.
Emily didn't want to wait in the car alone. So she comes in.
And then they see outside the guy in the winter coat.
Just standing there staring at him.
I think it was Method Man.
Was it?
Method Man wears pretty much the same hoodie all the time. Kind of does,
yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Maybe it was Method Man.
Or anyone from a North Face commercial.
Oh, yeah, true. It really is like the stereotypical like New Yorker.
Three people wear that coat in this thing. You know who doesn't wear a coat, though? Are three fucking leads.
Yeah, that was really weird.
It is -6 in this fucking movie. -6 degrees.
And she just has like a pea coat. David's not even wearing a coat.
They're just wearing like suit jackets.
Yeah, just suit jackets.
Wear your fucking coat. It's winter. It's been winter for about a month at least. Why don't they have a fucking coat?
Yeah, they said it was like 4 days before Christmas, something like that.
Yeah, still, have a fucking coat.
Yeah, that was weird. So they're in the ATM. The guy is outside and he isn't coming in.
He's just standing there.
And they're like, well, what the fuck is going on? Maybe we should give him money. Derp, derp, derp. So then there's this guy that's like walking his dog. And
poor doggy.
The dog doesn't die.
But the dog now has no master.
Damn, it's better than death, I guess.
See, kills the dude.
Yeah, he just fucking slams his face in the ground.
Yeah.
So like, oh shit. Well, we're in an ATM now.
But luckily, it's an ATM that you have to have an ATM card to get into.
Yes. However,
it's broken.
It's broken because Corey was saying that his card wasn't working because the magnetic strip was out.
And Emily asked one of the best questions that I was getting ready to ask of, how did he get in? I think we just assumed he was lying and wanted David to give him money.
Yeah. And then they bring that up of they're like, you're just being fucking cheap. And he's like, no.
But then later he does lie.
That's the weirdest thing. I mean, technically he was like drunk, but it still didn't make sense.
It could be a swerve. Because once he lied and we found out about it, we immediately thought, he's in on this. He knows something.
But it's a weird swerve, though. Why?
But it worked.
Yeah.
If that was intentional, it worked because it's immediately where we went to.
Yeah, one of the things that they think about doing is using a lighter to trip the emergency...
The fire alarm.
Fire alarm. And they ask Corey for a lighter because he smokes and he says he doesn't have a lighter on him.
But later...
Turns out he does.
When they're going through his dead man pockets.
And it's still weird. If they were trying to do it for the swerve, that would have been okay. But...
If that's what they were going for, it works. Because that was our first instinct is Josh is in on it.
But if they weren't going for that, why couldn't have the guy that they killed had a lighter on him? They could just use that. So they're trapped in the ATM and shit's going wild because they can't leave and they're going to die and they don't have a phone. And this is my number one plot point or plot hole that I have.
I think it's a plot hole. I think it's easily explained away, but go ahead.
Okay, so this guy, again, jumping to the end real fast. He's super calculated, has all these plans for various locations on how to kill them and frame them, because he just wants to. The thing that's the best thing of this movie, in my opinion, is the fact that it is all random. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for the killer.
They just happen to be
wrong place, wrong time.
Yep, because he had multiple locations. He just happened to be at that one that night.
So, what was his plan if they had cell phones?
To leave.
But what if they took a picture of him?
He had his face covered.
But what if?
There's no way to distinguish him. He had a hood on, he had his face covered, all you could see was his eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he would have just left.
That would probably ruin his ATM thing in the future, though.
Yeah, but he had more to go on.
Okay. I guess it didn't really explain his long-term plans necessarily.
Maybe they're just setting up for ATM 2.
Why would it be ATM 2 as a grocery store?
Because that's how they would tie it in. You're just going to call the next one grocery store?
No. Maybe the next one is the grocery store that was in movie 43. And it turns out that it was that guy at the register. He's killing because Emma Stone's character...
I'm going to come across this fucking table
Emma
right
Stone's
now.
Character wants him back, but she's obsessed with death. So he's like, baby, I'm going to show you death. Bathory the fuck out of this. I'm going to get him. I'm going to string him up. I'm going to blood all over us, baby.
Don't ruin this movie and compare it to movie 43. Don't do it. This movie's better.
So the movie goes on and they're basically just being stalked. And he's like cutting the power, cutting the heat.
Cut the heat.
Yep. He goes around the back and you find out that he's also fucking with the cameras.
Mm-hmm. We'll find that out at the end. Yep. He pumps water into it.
Yeah, at the very end, he pumps water through.
Or he pushes the car up. and blocks the door and pumps water into it. Clever. So he had a plan. I mean, it was really thought out. He had to kill a security guard. Poor fella.
Yeah, that was...
He didn't bring any weapons with him. So if they would have called the police when he's just standing out there, if he wouldn't have killed the guy, he was doing nothing wrong.
True, yes.
He had nothing on him. He stole the tire iron and a toolbox out of their car.
What would have happened if they didn't have a tire iron toolbox?
He didn't need it to kill the fucking homeless dude.
Yeah, true.
I think he was doing just fine killing people without a weapon.
So one of the interesting parts that was a nice swerve, but I still have problems with it, is there is a guy in an identical coat that comes into the ATM, and they kill him.
They attack him and kill him because they think he's the killer.
Turns out he is not. It was just some guy going to the ATM. I liked what they were trying to do with this.
They should have done it before she wrote help on the window and lipstick.
Yes. Because Emily's character writes help, lipstick on the glass, and this guy is going to the ATM who apparently can't read, I don't know, and didn't, like, say anything, and just bust through the door.
I don't know.
If she didn't write help, I would be okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
I can only...
Because he opened the door, and they grabbed him, threw him to the ground, and beat the fuck out of him and strangled him.
Yes. If help wasn't written there, I'll suspend my disbelief, but I can't do it with that. I mean...
Why did the killer just let him go in? I guess it's just one more...
Yeah.
One more body. Yeah.
Yeah, there wouldn't have been anything like that.
I thought it was a nice... I liked what they were doing. We knew it wasn't the killer, obviously, because it happened halfway into the movie.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a nice touch, and I liked it.
Could have been executed a little better.
Because it's like, now it's a good thing of... Because the girl ends up going into, like, shock.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's now locked in a room with two other killers. They murdered an innocent man. So she doesn't know, you know... I thought there'd be that breaking point for characters. And there kind of was.
To an extent. I would have liked the negative weather to pose more of a threat than it did. Because there's only really one instance of them, like, needing to huddle for warmth. But then it's just kind of tossed away and it never becomes an issue.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting of them, like, degrading mentally as well because of how cold they were getting.
I mean, -6 is cold.
I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure that they were out there for like 5 to 6 hours. That's definitely hypothermia.
No.
That's totally hypothermia.
It's not hypothermia.
I'll fucking Google it right now. Google me.
It's not hypothermia.
Well, Kyle, I just Googled it.
Okay.
And based on my Googling skills, it says that they could have gotten exhaustion or unconsciousness with in the terms of like hypothermia within 15 to 45 minutes of that time frame.
What temperature do you get hypothermia at?
Well, it has a lot of variables.
You did not answer the question.
Well, it had a lot of variables because it's talking about like if it depends on like wind chill and stuff. Like,
well, they had no wind.
A temperature of 0 degrees and a wind speed of 15 miles per hour can create a wind chill temperature of -19, where frostbite can occur in 30 minutes.
Okay. There's no wind.
Okay. Well, let's take no wind, -5. Still, they were there for like 6 hours.
Yeah, they could have huddled up. Why didn't they huddle
up? But they
up?
Didn't. That's the thing. Like, they didn't do anything like that to prevent any kind of...
Yeah, because that's what I mean. They could have huddled up.
That's why I'm saying I think that should have played a role because they didn't do anything to prevent...
I mean, it
like
kind of did play a role.
All he had was a shirt on. It's
no, I'm saying on the killer's standpoint, it's why he's pumping fucking water into there.
Oh, well, yeah. Should have just done it again.
Well, you know, he had a hard time. I think he had another plan. He was having trouble getting into the door.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or maybe they were just taking too long. Maybe he had it on the timetable. He had to do this before the sun come up. Maybe you're like, yes.
Yeah, actually, maybe that was like the last kind of resort.
He literally, once he put the hose in there, got the camping chair and sat down to watch.
That was fucking great, because you joke that you hope that he did it, and then he actually did it.
He did. So,
I was like,
he knew what he was doing.
Probably like, well, got about 2 hours, need to speed this up.
Yeah, let's drown him, I guess.
Okay, so there's one thing that happens in the movie that's fucking terrible. Absolutely the worst scene in the movie. Okay, so Corey leaves. He gets tripped by a tripwire, which should have been introduced way earlier in the movie.
Because we didn't see it.
I'm fine with the tripwire because it was explaining why they couldn't have just ran, which is one of our biggest things.
But why didn't they try to run away earlier? Because this dude is behind the building working on stuff. They could have made it half a block before he caught him.
Yeah.
Pretty
just,
far.
Yeah, just run and screaming, and he would have just peaced out.
Yep, he would have just said, fuck it, and he would have left.
So Corey's out there, and he gets tripped, and then he gets stabbed in the stomach with a screwdriver. and this is where they jump the shark a little bit.
No, they didn't jump the shark. This is not a jump the shark moment.
Well, I'm not done yet, because then Corey reanimates into a Sasquatch.
That's the jump the shark moment. There's no Sasquatch.
There's no Sasquatch.
Corey's not dead.
Yeah, so he's not dead, and he comes crawling, like, he starts to crawl towards them, to which they run out, and he's, like, right next to the car, which
he's past the car.
Yeah, like, very far away.
He's right under, I guess they took the tripwire down at that point, because they didn't run into that. He would have been literally under it.
Oh, yeah, true. They didn't hit the tripwire or anything. No. Well, I mean, it depends on how much they crawled, I guess.
That's true.
Because you did see him, like, actually physically
crawling. Yeah, he was crawling away from it.
So they grab him, and then David's like, let's go back to the ATM, to where Emily says, no, let's go to the street.
Yeah, she's the smart one.
And they go back to the ATM. What?
And then Corey dies pretty rapidly there.
What?
It was stupid.
If you're going to do it that they need to be in the ATM, just have Corey crawl really close to the ATM to where that's really their only option.
Yeah.
Not have it, they're like all the way over there, the killer hasn't noticed them yet, and they can literally run to the street.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking stupid.
It was stupid.
I can't get over how dumb that was. Just keep running.
I wish they would have had Emily. Would have been great if he's like, we have to get back to the ATM. She goes, you're a fucking idiot. And she just takes off. And she's... survives. She's like, you're a fucking moron. And she just runs.
Peace out.
And then that's how the cops come later, is because she got him.
Another really stupid scene that shouldn't have been in it was where David and Emily almost kiss. That was really weird.
Your friend just died.
Yeah, Corey is dead. Like, he has like a, he's like seizing.
Well, I think he was still outside then, but they thought he was dead. This is before he was killed.
Right. Yeah.
You thought he died. Now you're gonna make it.
You killed a man.
You murdered a man.
Yeah. And then they.
His body is right at your feet.
And then they're like, I'm just going to. Mm-hmm.
And the whole time the killer's slowly pushing the car. Pushing the car up to block the door. That's after they left and came back with Corey. And he's like, you're not doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
So block him with the car. Fucking idiots. And that's when he started pumping the water in.
Yeah. Fucking weird. I don't know what that scene. I liked her monologue because it made sense with the ending of where she was just like, I could have done a million things and like about the randomness of
it. But I chose to be here or be with you. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
Because it had to do with how the ending, it was just a completely random.
Mm-hmm. They just happened to be there.
So he starts pumping it full of water.
Corey's officially dead at this point.
Not yet. He dies in like the middle of it basically. Because I kind of like how they handled his death too, because he just died. Like,
it just
there
died.
Wasn't like a big thing about it.
No. Nope.
Like he like seizes and stuff, and then you think he's okay and he's in the corner, and then he's just dead.
As the water fills up, you just see him kind of floating around.
Yeah. And they need to get the fire alarm to go off. So what I thought is, why wouldn't you just have her get on your shoulders and do something with fire?
Which they do.
And that's exactly what they did. And then I thought, well, this would be good because you could have Emily die or get injured where he trips and like accidentally smashes her on something. And they did it.
And it looked fucking brutal. Like, we were both like, oh, God. Oh, God.
It was, woof. It was good.
She smacked it hard and died. Again, they don't say she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
She's just dead. I mean, he's holding her. We know she's dead.
Yeah.
But then you don't see her be like, David, I
loved you.
Nah, she's just fucking dead. And then the killer takes the security guard's card and rams the other one and busts into the ATM. This is point when you're like, why would he do that? Like, because he just took away everything David knows and loves you.
Yeah,
like, God,
like,
damn it,
it's a 401k
like, it's guy.
The fucking 401k guy. This is fucking bullshit. I hate this movie. Luckily, it was not.
So
the police and fire department come.
After David sets the...
Yeah.
He throws a Molotov at what he thinks is the killer in the camby chair. It's the security guard's dead body. And then the mace blows up into his face.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops come up and arrest David.
And put him in the back of the car. And then it shows a monologue of them, like, compiling evidence. And then it shows the spliced footage where it basically just paints David as the killer.
And then it goes to show how the killer knew the range of the cameras. So he's never seen. And he edited, like, David and Corey are fighting. And the next thing you know, like, it's them on the ground. So it looks like he stabbed him.
Yep.
He shoved Emily to the ground at one point.
Mm-hmm.
She smacked the floor. That's the head injury. It's very clever.
The only problem I have with the ending is I don't like the after thing where it showed him in his little home or whatever with the drawn plans. It explained how that this was one of many plans that he had. It wasn't just...
I think the theatrical cut actually did it better. where they intersplice that with the security camera footage.
Yes.
I actually think that was better than the director's cut.
Yeah, because the director's cut, I think, would have been perfect if it just ends with the cars drive, the cop cars driving away. David's looking out the back and he sees the guy in the audience.
The guy's like, holding his little angel thing.
Yeah, and he's in the audience, like the audience of onlookers looking at the crime scene.
And the angel thing was like, it's to protect you. He put it in your car. So the killer is holding that. Like, yeah. I'm protect, you know.
And
thank you, David, for protecting me. Because it looks like the killer killed three people.
Like, actually killed? Or are we talking about, like...
Actually killed three people.
Yes.
David killed two. So, he's not far under the killer radar.
But, I mean, his killings weren't... Well, one of them was out of one malice, of them, but it was out of protection. The other one was not really his fault.
Yeah, but one of them was flat-out murder.
That would have been great if it just cuts to black then, because that gives you a very open-ended, you know, open-ended...
Yeah, I don't think you needed the thing of, like, hey, it's random. We got it
yeah, that,
when you didn't say who the killer was.
And how they showed the thing where it had the camera range, it's like, well, I figured that out already.
We figured that out.
Like, I just don't think it was needed.
Which I think when it was intercut, like they show the camera range and then they cut to him outside of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then show the thing, then a cut back. I think that worked. The way we saw it was, here's all the camera footage. He's in the cop car driving away. Here's the guy going over everything that you just
figured out. Yeah, just saw it figured out.
So. And that was kind of dumb. I didn't need that.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought this was decent.
Yeah, I didn't hate it at all.
I was engrossed. I cared what happened to the characters. So I wanted to see where it went. It came a point where we're like, oh, he's wearing that coat. We saw the coat at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, but he said he didn't have a light. Like, little things we were starting to pick up. The characters asked the right questions. Like, a question I think we both probably would have been ready to ask when they said David's car doesn't work. Or Corey's car didn't work. How did he get in?
Mm-hmm.
It's because the door is fucking broken. So, because that was a big thing we kept asking, was why didn't the killer try the fucking door? And then we realized in the end, he knew the camera range.
Yeah, they kept showing the camera, and I was like, oh, well, it's probably because of the camera. Because there's a big thing of him not showing his face.
But that would explain why he stood where he did.
Which I was very happy as well that they never actually showed his face.
Nope, didn't show his
face.
Thank
God. Or any information about him.
No, nothing. He apparently lives in a
shed or something.
A storage shed.
Yeah. All right.
So...
whatever.
I definitely, if you can track this down, give it a watch. Yeah. If you see it on IFC.
Yeah, it'd probably be.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on there. It's 4 years old, which surprised me. Give it a watch, even though we just ruined it.
Not terrible.
Spoiled the shit out of it for you. Better than Devil.
Yes, much better than Devil.
Ugh, so much better than Devil.
All right, Kyle, I have one more thing before we leave.
Okay.
I need to pitch an idea for you.
Oh, God. No, I know what it is. No.
Kyle?
Don't do it again. I'm sure it's been done.
So we open in Scotland.
Ah, motherfucker.
It's a panning shot of Loch Ness.
Oh, my God.
So you're going over, you're talking about Loch Ness and everything that's happened. So then, all of a sudden, you see the head of Nessie, the Loch Ness monster. So the Loch Ness monster is appearing up, okay? And then they cut into the hills, and there's a tribe of Sasquatch. And it intersplices the Loch Ness monster killing people. And the Sasquatch are the protectors of Earth. And they need to help the humans. So they band together to fight and kill the Loch Ness monster.
I'm sure it's been done.
It hasn't. I've looked.
Did you look it up? Pitch it to Sci-Fi or the Asylum. They'll pick it up.
Because we have
They'll put an washed-up 80s rock star in the movie. Debbie Gibson will star in it.
No, not Debbie Gibson. I would want the lead singer from Twisted Sister.
Dee Snider? No.
Yeah, I want Dee Snider in it.
He wouldn't do a Sci-Fi original. He'll do like another Strangeland.
What about...
You might get the guy from, like, Rat.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Yeah. Or, like, one of the guys from Striper. You remember Striper?
No.
The Christian glam metal band?
I remember them, but I don't
have one of them, and they... So we have, like, three different plots going on. We have Loch Ness Monster versus the people of Loch Ness, and...
The people of Loch Ness?
The people that, like, live... the people that live around there and stuff. And, like, going out there on their boats. Nessie's fucking killing them. And then we have... I'm still going to go with Dee Snider.
Okay, it wouldn't be Dee Snider.
Dee Snider goes out because he is a scientist that is testing the waters of Loch Ness for different bacteria because there's an anomaly that just happened. And that was Nessie waking up. Nessie needs to feed. So that's why Nessie is killing all of the people. And the Sasquatch in the hills. And then we can cut to, like, a grandma, like, telling, like, folk tales of, like, the people in the hills. And then it turns out that they're just Sasquatch. And Sasquatch have to help the people of the town. So then we have the plot of Dee Snider.
You guys remember when we reviewed?
And he's trying...
Movie 43?
That was better than this.
So Dee Snider is trying to tell the U.S. government there's something fishy happening in Loch Ness. Exactly like Bryan Cranston's character in Godzilla in 2014.
It was a worthless character in that
and
movie.
And then we have...
So you're saying Dee Snider would die a third into it?
No,
Dee
Snider would
point.
Stay alive. No. He would be alive. Because Dee Snider eventually would contact the Sasquatch. Or vice versa. The Sasquatch would talk to Dee Snider.
So they can talk.
Yes.
So this is like Red Dead Redemption, Sasquatches.
Yes.
Okay.
They're intelligent. They live in the trees. Just like the real Sasquatch.
Okay.
Because Sasquatch is real.
Sasquatch is not real.
Sasquatch is 100% real.
He's as real as Nessie.
Nessie was real as well. Thank you very much.
No.
Nessie just died because you know what happens to Loch Ness monsters? They eventually die. Like in this movie, when the Sasquatch band together expose themselves to the world to take down Nessie. In the Loch Ness.
Just stay away from Loch Ness.
And then we have a scene where there's Sasquatches like choking out. There's like 50 of them just choking the fuck out of Nessie's neck. And then Dee Snider is in like a pontoon boat. And he just like, he says like, some witty line, motherfucker. And then he fucking shoots a rocket and blows Nessie's head up.
And kills all the Sasquatch.
They sacrifice themselves. The Sasquatch, they're like crying and looking at him and just nodded. Like it shows Dee and he has it and he like zooms in. Like, it has, like, a scope on it, and zooms into one of the Sasquatch, choking out Nessie. And the Sasquatch looks at him, and Dee just looks at him. And Dee just goes, I don't want to do this. And he just, like, whispers, I can't do it. And then you see the Sasquatch, just with tears in its eyes, just nod.
So, if anybody has any resumes for podcasting,
so then he pulls the trigger,
podcast.
And then it fucking shoots out, and on the missile...
So I'm looking for a new co-host.
On the missile is like Niblets for Nessie. And it shoots it out, blows his fucking head off.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
So then the Sasquatch go into the hills and they all make a pact to never talk about it again in case anything like that happens again. So then we're setting up sequels. Like Sasquatch versus the aliens. Sasquatch versus Chupacabra. Sasquatch versus lizard people.
Does Scotland even have a Sasquatch? Do they have that folklore there?
I don't know.
I think that's more of a North American thing.
No, because there's Sasquatch and there's also Yetis. There's a lot of different kinds of
I know. That's why I'm asking if Scotland even has that.
Probably. I think so.
I don't know.
That's a movie idea.
It's a stupid movie idea.
No.
It really is. Sasquatch. When you first pitched to me, you said it's like Sharknado. That's what you said. You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember that word coming out of your mouth?
Well, no. I said it was like the giant sharktopus versus...
If you're not... It's...
Something
mega shark
something.
Versus giant octopus.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I thought there was a mega shark.
Oh, there's all sorts of mega and giant shit.
Yeah, because that's all.
Yeah, there's tons of them, and they're all terrible. Give it time. Sci-Fi made a movie called fucking Mansquito.
I need
where Parker Lewis turns into a fucking mosquito.
I feel like I should probably actually trademark this idea because this is something I could see on Sci-Fi version. I'm gonna fucking submit it. I'm gonna write the script and submit it.
Okay.
This is a promise right now. I will do it.
Okay, do it.
All right. Sasquatch is real, by the way.
You won't fucking do it. Sasquatch is not real.
Sasquatch is fucking real.
No.
I'm sorry to all the Sasquatch that are
Hey, you know what, Sasquatch?
Offended
by- Fuck you and your make-believe families, you sons of bitches.